Now, we've great intentions to get stuff done, right? We love making a little to-do list. We promise that we're going to be more organized every single day, but somehow we never get through as much as we'd like to or need to. And sometimes there's so much to do that it can be overwhelming. So the question is, how do we become more productive? Well, psychologist Pork Walsh is here and he is going to tell us. Pork, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to get you to pull that microphone forward to you now because you can move that to you. I was too busy chatting to you off air. I forgot to do all these kind of things. I keep forgetting to do that. Could have been more productive. Who knows? This feels like an intervention, if I'm being completely honest.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm a self-proclaimed dawdler. Love a bit of a flaff around the place. Love to start a job, then walk into another room, start a job there, then walk into another room, start a job there, and then sit on my couch and leave them all behind me. So
I'm a reforming dilly-dallyer, procrastinator. Sometimes I like have to do a whole host of things like dilly-dally, procrastinate, you know, knock around. All of these things have to happen before you actually get productive. But it's funny, we're in the middle of February where people might have had great intentions in January of being more productive. So this is kind of a timely thing. You might even look, it's 10:30 in the morning and you may have woken up and started something at 9 o'clock going, I'm going to be really productive. And you might be drifting right now. And it is the perennial thing that we struggle with, but it's all a feature of human behavior, and that's what we study.
So, like, why do we do this though? Like, we know that we have lots of stuff to get done. Like, why on earth do we waste time beforehand?
So, there can be a whole host of elements, but let's check in on our emotions, first of all, because I could sit here, Laura, and give you loads of productivity hacks that we can see to get through. And you know what? I will.
Do.
But let's think about this beforehand. There's often an internal conversation going on in our mind, and that can be related to our emotions. So we might be stressed, we might be worried, there might be things on our mind that are inhibiting us from actually getting busy ourselves. Okay. First thing first is look after ourselves. So you know, when we're talking about studying for exams or doing assignments or getting stuff done, the first thing we need to do is actually mind ourselves. But oftentimes the walks, the exercise, the diet, the sleep, those are the first things to go. So first things first, we need to be staying on top of those before we even try and open up a schedule.
Why is it that all my friends seem to be way more productive than I am? AKA, you know, this can apply to anyone in their life. You're looking at everybody else and you're going, they are just so productive. How are they getting this done?
I find this as well.
Okay.
You know, one of my things at the start of the year was to be more gym friendly, you know, and try to get back in there more. And anytime I compare myself to somebody else, I immediately, if I see they've written a book or they're really productive at work or they're getting exercise done, I go, do they have kids? Because I have two small kids. And the comparison is the thief of joy. So us comparing ourselves to another person immediately sets us on the back foot, immediately makes us emotionally unstable. So we don't want to be comparing ourselves to other people. But what we do need to tune into is what's really valuable to us, what's important, because we all have 24 hours in the day. We all have the same amount of time. It's not about not having time. It's about prioritizing what's really important.
I was going to say, Molly May got in trouble for that before by saying we all have the same 24 hours as Beyonce's. we need to be realistic. But like, some people will turn around, Pork, and they'll say like, oh, I'm not organized, like I'm not productive. But it is important to not just write yourself off as someone who can't change.
No, and that's the thing. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of this. So there's a few ways of prioritizing that I love. So at the start of the day, write down the things that are important to you that you want to get done. It can be a to-do list, but don't just stop there. If you've written down all of the things, I like to think of it as a brain dump, 5-minute brain dump. Like I have it here in front of me. It's just a page of stuff that's happening. That's things I'm going to say to you. But also on the other pages, there's a list of things that I need to do today, right? Okay. But within that, I don't just have it as everything weighted the same way. So what I'll do is I'll draw a square, like 4 squares, and there will be a do, a delegate, a delay, or a dump. Okay?
I like the delegate one there now.
Right. Okay. Well, this is the thing. So if there's something that I can do within 30 seconds to a minute, if there's an email that comes in and I can send respond to this in 30 seconds, a minute, get it done, off we go, right? There's a lovely trend I saw on Instagram that I have adopted. This is lived experience called one-touch housework. Have you come across this?
No.
One-touch housework, because housework is one of those things that becomes really difficult. You know, you have laundry, you have dirty clothes, then you put them on the chair, then you put them on the floor, then you put them in the laundry basket, then you put them in the washing machine. And it was like, no, just one touch. If it is dirty, take it, put it straight in the washing machine, it's done. Because a lot of the time, the intermediate parts are the things that linger on our brain. The unreplied to email isn't just about the 30 seconds that you need to do later on. It's about all the mental space that something lingering, you know, knots that are still untied, not tied up, that causes us mental drains our energy. So one touch housework is really important. So do, if you can do it straight away, do it. If you can delay it, schedule it into your calendar. Okay. If it's something that's important, so I would think if it's something that's important but it's not urgent, delay it. If it's something that's not important and you can delegate it out, be that to another person or technology. You know, if you can just set up automatic, you know, if you're struggling to remember to send to pay bills.
Yeah.
And you can set up an automatic reminder, or you can set up an automatic direct debit, or whatever it is that you're delegating that out either through a person or technology. And then, final thing, if there are elements that you're finding are not important, not urgent, but they're taking loads of your time, a la notifications on your phone, we try and dump those.
Okay, so get rid of the notifications.
If you can.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to be completely urgent.
I know, but like I have adapted in the last year turning off my notifications after 7 o'clock. Like all notifications, phone calls can get through to me. So if it's urgent, someone can get a hold of me. But you know, my Instagram, my TikTok, my emails, my WhatsApps, my text messages don't exist. I have to physically go into the app. It's changed my life because I'm not concentrating on my phone just popping up in the evening, just like feeding me information that I actually don't need.
There's some really interesting research that looks at the presence, not even just interacting with the phone, just the presence of a phone on a desk beside you when you're trying to work or when you're trying to pay attention. And just by its very presence, it could be turned off, Laura. It still will take our attention away from the task at hand. So the presence of our phones is a really huge distraction, particularly when we're talking about something like deep work.
Yeah.
There's a lovely technique that you can incorporate if you're going, I really, really need to concentrate here, or really need to do something. Start, just do for 5 minutes. Our mind often follows what our body will do. So if you can just start something for 5 minutes, if it's exercise and you're like, I want to exercise, just walk for 5 minutes and then check in and see where you're doing. Sometimes we wait until the perfect moment. Perfectionism can get in the way of good enough.
Yeah.
And what will happen is we end up waiting for that perfect moment when I have the perfect schedule with all of the colored highlighters and all of the perfect gym gear before I actually do it. If you just get started, and then there's another technique called the Pomodoro technique, which is the Italian for a tomato. And it's 25 minutes on, deep work, no distractions, 5 minutes off. And just doing that over and over again can be really useful. Now, I say this, I haven't used it as consistently as I would like.
But when you do use it, do you think that it actually works?
It does.
Or is there like a time split? Even like 5 minutes doesn't seem like enough nearly for me. I'd have to go like, okay, I'll do 25 minutes of intense, then maybe 10 minutes afterwards.
Yeah. And I can find, do you know what? I find multitasking is a really difficult thing for productivity as well. You know, I would compare multitasking to like Nicki Minaj on stage, right?
Okay.
So Nicki Minaj, every time our brain has to change from one task to another, it takes a lot of our brain space to move from one to another, right? You know, if I'm doing one email or one essay and then I have to pull out and go and respond to something else, there's an in-between part where our brain is trying to adapt. It's like Nicki Minaj in Backstage. You go to see her singing songs, but actually spend so much time backstage changing her costume and getting ready for the next thing that the whole show is bitty and there's so much less time actually being on stage and singing songs and she's just backstage changing. And that's what our brain is like. Our brain is going, I want to do a thing, but instead I'm having to use all this mental energy to move from one task to the other.
Okay.
Your brain like Nicki Minaj.
I know. I never thought I'd hear this description ever in my life. What about the people who are overthinkers, right? Because it, like, can you be more productive if you're an overthinker, or does it do the opposite?
I said earlier on, don't let perfection get in the way of just better, of good enough. And sometimes perfectionism can lead to procrastination, that we're waiting for the perfect moment to start. When I was younger, I used to wait. You know, sometimes you would, like, if you think of your summer holidays as a teenager and you'd be like, oh, I'm going to get up. It's 8:37. I'll wait until it's exactly 9 o'clock before I start doing something productive.
Yeah.
Or you would wait for that perfect moment for a fresh start. If you can just get going, that's way better, because we can overthink these things and our minds can really play tricks on us if we're not emotionally grounded, if we're not feeling like we are doing the perfect job. That can delay us, that can inhibit us, and it can be a disaster when you're trying to get stuff done.
I love how you say when you're a teenager waiting for your summer holidays, like, this is my weekend. Like, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to get up at 9 o'clock today, and then next thing it's 9:05 when I wake up and I'm like, sure, I may as well stay in bed till 10 now. And then, but then, like, it's the later part of the day then that I'm going, oh, I wasted all that time not doing all this, and you just need to commit to one thing of going, no, I'm going to sleep in, I'm going to enjoy sleeping in, and then I'm not going to punish myself for the whole day of it. It's a whole psychological thing. listening. I'm just using you for your time here now. Sorry.
Please, Laura, just keep them coming. But that 5 minute thing of actually doing, sometimes we think, oh, I'm doing it because I'm thinking about it. But thinking about it isn't actually doing it. So oftentimes we think that our behavior follows our thoughts, that if we think a particular thing or if we have something set up, that we'll invariably do it, right? But actually, the reverse is true as well, that if we just start doing something, and, you know, we talk a lot about mindfulness, okay? Yeah. I'm a big fan of mindlessness as well. When there are things that I don't like doing, if I have to go, right, I have to do half an hour of housework or half an hour of exercise, and I really, really, really don't want to do this, I don't want to think about it, what I will do is stick on some music. I will distract myself from doing it, but I will start doing it and I will let my mind go somewhere else. So I'll stick on a podcast, stick on the radio. I won't be thinking about the thing that I'm doing.
Yeah.
But guess what? Half an hour later, when the podcast is done, whatever I had to do is kind of finished, you know?
It's finished, yeah. We've spoken there, obviously, I asked you, like, you know, ways to be more focused. What was the four things again?
Do. Delegate.
Delay.
Or dump.
Do, delegate, delay, or dump, right? What about prioritizing these tasks? Like, in order of importance, like, what's the best way to prioritize? And you briefly explained it there, but, like, let's get into, like, what is the best way to know do, delegate, like, dump? What's the other one?
Do delegate, delay and dump.
We're going to write these down and eat them in my head.
No, absolutely. And it's a really, really good question, Laura. Because if something is urgent and important and we can do it.
Okay.
If something is important but not urgent, we can delay it.
Okay.
Okay. If something is not important and not urgent, maybe we just dump it. And if something is not important but is urgent, try and delegate that out.
I like the idea, you know, that you mentioned about, like, how all these things take up brain space, and, like, even the things that could be dumped, it's the commitment to it. I think unless you actually go, I'm actually not doing that, it's going to sit in the back of your mind and it's going to, like, take up nearly like memory, kind of like your phone memory, and then it's draining your battery because it's all you're thinking of till you actually commit to the bit and go, no, I'm getting rid of this completely.
Do you ever feel that weight off your shoulders when you say no to something? Yeah. When you go, I'm giving this up, this is an activity or something in my routine or a friendship or a ritual or whatever it is that you go, you know what? No.
Yeah.
I'm not committing to this. Sometimes our social diaries can be so full and we turn around and we say no, or we have work commitments and we go, you know what, I'm just going to stand up for myself and say no, that's not important. And you feel this weight come off your shoulders. And it's literally your mind saying, I'm clear now. I don't have to worry or think about this. And it's that wasted space in our heads. It's just gone.
It's the calming down of it all. Pork, honest to God, thank you so much for coming in with us today. As I said, I did think that it was a bit of an intervention for myself. I'm the queen of the dilly-dally. Like, love a dilly-dally, love like, you know, a bit of a flap around. And you can lose the run of yourself so quickly if anything is out of your routine. So yeah, getting back into it. But I think the most important thing I took from that is just offloading stuff that doesn't need to be there. If I don't need to do it, then I'm dumping it out. Thank you so much, Pork, for coming in to us today. Really enjoyed it. It was great crack.
Thank you very much, Laura.